Yes.
All right. Let me call to order the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for Monday, April 3rd. It's good to see everybody. Item number two on our agenda is approval of the minutes from our March 6th meeting. Motion, please.
Move for approval. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item three, employee years of service recognition. Take it away.
Good afternoon, Mayor, committee members. I'd like to see if James Bowers would come up here for a second with me. James is recognized today for 5 years of employment. He came to us from SCDOT, and let me tell you that there are very few people who work in traffic signals anymore. And we are very fortunate to have James, as well as Benson, his supervisor back there. They're like the silent two. I don't know how they get the work that they get done in a year, but it's pretty incredible. So he came to us from DOT. He's a major contributor to all the maintenance here we have for our system. We have 64 plus signals now. I think we had high 20s when I was in the late 90s. So a good bit of growth there. He and Vincent are responsible for maintaining every day our traffic signals in the tip-top condition. They have to respond on call 24/7. And this happens way more than they would probably even tell me. So we very much appreciate that. Mr. Chapman knows what that's like. He used to be on call.
I call some of the stuff in.
That's right. That's right. So we're very appreciative of that, because it is a big ask for us to ask them to be away from the families when the storms come through, the power goes out, and could just be a flashing signal. It's going to come back on, but most of the time these guys come out and take care of it, make sure it's okay. So James is very proactive. He's always accountable to our team, and we just very much appreciate your time here, and congratulations on 5 years.
Mayor, before Mr. Morrison gets away, on that very question, which I do call in from time to time, sometimes the police dispatcher will transfer me to the county. What do I need to do to just, because I'm sure they have a call sheet for the call out to James or whoever's on.
Correct.
During off-duty time. What do I need to do?
I just give you James and Vincent's number. That's what I'll do.
Well, I'm sorry for him, but it's better for the dispatcher.
You know, both the dispatch as well as our police department have that on-call list. And I probably need to talk to maybe the chief about making sure that they understand it's always available, so that they can immediately call that list. Typically, we come through our folks, and they immediately know who to call, and they call Vincent. He's the first person on the list, I think. So let me talk to the chief and make sure that line of communication at that level is also there.
Great. That would be great, because that saves time.
Yes, sir.
Time can prevent an accident.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you. Item number four on the agenda is public comments. If you'd like to make a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address in 2.5 minutes. Please come to the lectern. Mr. DeMora, if you'll be our timer, please. Thank you.
Well, William Hamilton, best friend of Low Country Transit, 32 Soul Street, Ion. In 2009, we told the people that worked to improve public transit across the country that we're going to increase bus ridership in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, a conservative suburban area in the South. And they laughed and said that was impossible. And 5 years later, we'd increased the bus ridership in Mount Pleasant to 308% of what it had been in 2009, and now we're national experts. But one is always looking for the low-hanging fruit, and we have two pieces of that ahead of us that we can seize to increase our bus ridership and increase revenues for our businesses and taxes and fees in the town. The first is a program we've been running off and on for over a decade now called Park Pleasantly and Play Downtown. It capitalizes on the advantage that our hotels cost less, have larger rooms and better amenities, and most of them are near good bus lines that go directly to the visitor center downtown. Once they're downtown, they don't really need a car. The city has four free bus routes, the 3-dash routes and the number 20 route. So you can get, and plus the free brewery trolley on Saturdays. So you can get anywhere in the city you need to go on the bus without a car, which means you don't have to fight parking, your kids aren't screaming, they enjoy the bus. It's a vastly better way to deal with what Charleston is, which is what my people and my organization call Confederate Disneyland. We'd like to crank it up again. We're going to do it one way or another, but if we can come up with a little additional support, it allows us to print more of these postcards, more of the posters, and staff more visits to the hotels, and possibly create some incentives to get the hotels to talk to people about it. The hotels that do it rave about it. The Red Roof Inn's done it for years. There are a couple out in your town center that do it, and they say this works. They can book rooms, they can outcompete Charleston, and people are very happy. And that's a very standard, very responsible, well-developed program. The next program is we've got to do something to get people on the beach shuttle. Everybody loves it, but they don't love it enough because you've got to get people's attention, and attention requires a gimmick. And by God, we found one. It turns out that very attractive women dressed up in leather as pirates who commandeer buses and pass out little plastic coins so people can get discounts on drinks works. It's getting a lot of attention. We have the women, they have the outfits, they put them on a couple of weeks ago and asked them what I thought. I said, ladies, when I see that much leather and nothing else, men don't think at all, but it looks fabulous and I'm sure it'll work. And these women have had a lot of experience in outreach and they're looking forward to it. And we put people in costume before we used to have a transit ferry. And so we're confident it'll work. And again, you know, it's more money helps. We need to print stuff and we distribute stuff and we need the support of the town's exceptional PR department to proofread my material so I don't distribute badly spelled material to the universe on behalf of our community. Thank you for listening to me today.
Just a reminder, that is done by a private group. That is not a project of the town of Mount Pleasant. No taxpayer funds are used, and we are not implying an endorsement of said means. All righty. Anyone else for public comments? Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Item number 5, budget review for engineering and development services, general fund operating, and then we'll do the capital fund as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the committee. Hello. If you'll flip to the EDS, Engineering and Development Services tab in your budget, page 68. Good news to report, the budget is down almost 1%. Salaries are up about 4% overall. And going down to contractual services, if you wouldn't mind flipping the page, I'd like to point out item number 2 in particular, which supports our mobility initiatives that you'll hear about later today. That is item number 2 under contractual services. Back to the front page on EDS, page 68. Traffic light maintenance, it's perhaps seven line items down. 70 to 80% of that expenditure is reimbursed by the State Department of Transportation. So that's not entirely our expense to incur. Other than that, most of the items worthy of discussion are under CMP and CIP. You could flip back to CMP, which is pages 115 and 116. In fact, go all the way back to 116. At the very top is pavement preservation, which is $1.5 million in the budget to manage the resurfacing of our roadways. On the CIP side, we have several projects to include the shrimp plant and dock restoration. This is the Wando Docks, $4.43 million in the budget for that project. We have an additional project you'll hear more about, which is the Pitt Street Bridge Micro-Mobility Project. If you haven't been out there lately, if you have been out there lately, you've noticed that it's in need of some surface repair. Also, the final year funding for All American Boulevard, a project we've been slowly putting money towards, but we've reached it, and this project will receive its final funding in this proposed budget. That's $1.6 million. And those are the highlights from me, sir. Do you have any questions?
Okay, let's get a motion to recommend both to the Budget Committee, and then we can do discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I would recommend that we recommend to the Budget Committee the budget for engineering and development services, general fund operating expenditures, and engineering and development service capital fund projects and maintenance expenditures.
Thank you. We have a second. All right, we're in discussion. Let me ask a quick question because I've been kind of riding herd on this one. I think if you're on page 69, that item number 2, Network Mobility Assessment and Action Plan, Transportation Committee Directed Assessment, that's our big traffic study, however you want to, analysis study, the whole thing that we're going to do. And that's under an existing provider contract, as I understand.
Yes, sir. We actually started that study this fiscal year, so this money will be available
for next year.
If we decide to do more, which I expect probably will come. Okay. So, yes, sir. And it is with one of our on-call consultants.
Okay, that's great. So it'll go through, it'll flow through to the next fiscal year.
Yes, sir.
Because I think it'll take how long do we think it's going to take, a year?
It was 12 weeks just to this initial study. So it's okay. It's pretty quick. And then if we decide to do more, probably be more than 3 to 4 months after that.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Other questions or
yes,
things
sir.
To point out? Yes, sir.
In the traffic signal maintenance, as opposed to traffic light maintenance, what are we now receiving per intersection from state DOT?
It's like $3,500, but that's under the contract for regular maintenance. But I can tell you, Mr. Chapp, that's per signal. So that's about 65 times that 3,500. They pay at different rates for different types of signals. So that's how you get to the, 141. It's about $2,500 for that.
We're only getting $2,500?
We reimburse just for maintenance. Now, we get a lot of funding also to equipment that is given to us. They also have that program, as well as some of the ITS things that we get work with the DOT on. So there's other funding categories that come that's not reflected here. This is just pure maintenance, the regular maintenance on the signals.
So that's the signals, not the street lights.
Correct.
Okay.
We had that corrected once, and it's gone back to light again.
And
but I'll work on the signal.
Just wanted to make sure that it was for the traffic signal.
Yes, sir.
Not the street lights. Thank you.
Brenda, Carl, anything? In the meantime, I'll ask just a quick question. I always try to ask: Is this, so far as salaries is concerned, it goes up 4.1%. Is our salaries, training, and all that sufficient for your department to do what we're asking you to do, you and your staff?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And then the other, just, you know, you hear us say this all the time because it's probably the one thing we hear about in the grocery store or at the park more than anything else is traffic in Mount Pleasant. And our staff did not create that traffic. We understand that. I just want to make sure that we are funding, and I think this study will help, but we are giving you the funding you need to manage what you have, the hand you've been dealt, as best we can to keep traffic moving, because it really is a high priority among our citizens.
So, yes, sir, and that comes through three different areas. This general fund is a very small amount. The actual, to Mr. Chapman's question earlier about maintenance, we have a lot more maintenance in the CEMP that comes to the signal system through improvements, et cetera. So that's hundreds of thousands of dollars that goes into that. So yes, sir, we're covered.
Great. And then in the capital, remind me which page that was again. I just dropped it.
For All American, or
yes,
that would be page 29 of the. It's my page 29 of the CIP. The $1.6 million coming in.
Yes. What's the timeline on that, by the way?
James is actually working. He's not here today, but James is working on that. We are getting that ready to bid for May in anticipation that the budget is passed.
For this
May, yes, sir. We talked about that last year when the tennis center was approved.
I remember that.
So we kind of geared it up, and we're working through the final stages of procurement.
Okay. Other question I had, because I've had, as you know, one neighborhood like Chelsea Park, they want their road repaved, and I've been there to see it, and I know there's a rating system and a list, and there's a schedule for all of that, but are we chipping away at that each year?
We are, yes, sir. This year is 1.5. Last year it was a million, so we've increased it by $500,000 for this year, and we go in with the county on their contract, so we get a bigger bang for our buck when we can get $5 or $7 million on the street versus just our 1 to 1.5. So some economy of scale there. And we do have a rating system, and we also have what we call, instead of just pothole patching that our public services department does on a regular basis, we have what we call full depth patch contracts. When something like Chelsea Park, we need to go in and we need to do some more extended and at a deeper level of patching, and so we have that contract also.
Okay, great. Council members, any other questions?
Yeah, yes, sir. On the pavement, and I'm not sure whether the asphalt's coming out of your budget or public services, but the work that's being done or has been done on Mathis Ferry Road for the bicycle path and walkway is fabulous. And in that regard, and that just came up at another committee meeting, there are red tape, there's red tape around a number of trees along Mathis Ferry Road that I've gotten calls on, and Chairman Sass from County Council has gotten calls on wanting to make sure that we're not taking all those trees down. And if you could just, Mr. Aton was nice enough to give me an update, but for the record, if you could also give an update on what that red tape is on the trees on Mathis Ferry Road.
Yes, sir. The first issue, Andy's department actually procured that contract for the Mathis Ferry sidewalk. So that was in public services, and he deserves all the credit for that. And I have not seen it yet, but I'm glad to hear it came out well. The markings for the trees are our second phase of our survey, which is for Mount Pleasant Way. The first portion is the Scammerville project. The next portion goes up several, another half a mile or so. So that's what it is right now, just survey. And of course, we don't intend to take down any protected trees, but we're going to meander that path as best we can. But we want to capture any trees we do have to take down and mitigate for by our own ordinances. But they're not taking down all those trees. It's just so that we have a survey of every single tree location.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. We have a motion on the floor to recommend to the Budget Committee both the general fund operating expenditures and the capital fund projects and maintenance expenditures. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Morrison, for your input. Appreciate that. This moves us to item number 6, that has to do with speeding on Harry Holman Wingo Way in entrance to the Ravenel Bridge. And I just want, for the record, that's my neighborhood. I didn't put this on the agenda. This is not me looking out for my own.
I personally requested to go on, and I discussed it a little bit in our last committee meeting. And all the request is that at a certain time on Saturday evening, this has been happening more and more at the same time. And the constituent is somewhat concerned that the message is not getting through the 911 system, and thinks that there should be a way to keep a check at a certain time in Saturday evening, where these vehicles are racing from on Patriots Point Boulevard through Harry Holman to Wingo Way, getting up the ramp going on the Ravenel Bridge. And if we could just have some kind of way, again, for keeping a check rather than having to call every Saturday night at 9:30, maybe that'll stop the annoyance, if you will. So that's the only reason it's on here.
I appreciate you.
But it shouldn't have to go, should not have to go through the county's 911 system, make the constituent wait 5 to 10 minutes to talk to somebody.
Okay. Item number 7 is discussion of the use of our Shem Creek floating dock. I guess, Mr. DeMora, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Well, here's a slide. So I'm speaking to the area in yellow. And when this was, well, let me back up. There's been some talk and some concern raised in the public about the use of this area. And what we have docking up there from time to time are boats that are in need of repair. And it's possible, certainly, that maybe word has spread that that's a place to be able to dock up. And that does happen from time to time. And with the help of PD, we do our best to move them along because it's not a spot for that. And we also have, from time to time, taxi services that utilize that dock to drop off potential patrons. And that has always been, from the very beginning of that project, always been an intended use out there. The idea prior to construction was that if a taxi service or any other private service wanted to bring over individuals to frequent our restaurants at Shem Creek, that was a spot they could do that. We have an ordinance that specifically states that no business can operate on at town parks. And so this is a park, Shem Creek Park, and that is true. If we notice that there's a business that wants to utilize this for their own day-to-day business activity, then that is a violation of the ordinance, and we'll pursue that. However, for the activity I mentioned a moment ago, where they're bringing an individual, say, on a Friday or Saturday night, that was always considered to be to our benefit, not necessarily to the business's benefit, and we've allowed that. And that's kind of what we have going on right now. But this issue has come up as to the frequency of individuals utilizing that space. And so we're going to keep monitoring it. I wanted to mention it, that at least bring it up to committee, that if it was committee's desire that we do not even utilize that dock for patrons, say, on a weekend, then we need to know that, and we can shut that down. But otherwise, we'll continue to monitor it. Lastly, we're rapidly approaching a point where some type of harbor master function is going to be necessary out there. Not sure exactly when that is, but with the popularity of the area, it's becoming more and more of a need, I'm afraid. So that's all I had, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll turn it over to the whole committee. But on the second point about a harbor master, if you've ever been out there and either just watching or kayaking like my family does, you get large groups of kayakers out there, and they do not understand, especially like when a shrimp boat comes in, that it goes to one side of the creek to come around and usually, you know, dock with the bow heading out. And so the shrimp boat comes over, and what do? They move over to the side right where the shrimp boat is going, because they see it going to that side. And we're very fortunate between that and everything that goes on at the landing, and then the behavior of some folks operating vessels when they should have stayed on land. We're very fortunate. But Eric, I strongly support that, and maybe, you know, county parks in the town, I don't think we should solely do that. Maybe the state, I don't know, and maybe somebody who's got more experience, like with DNR, I mean, they probably have as much jurisdiction in Shem Creek as we do, right? Would that be right, Chief? This Chief, I'm sorry. Councilman or Chief, either one. Why would it fall solely to the town of Mount Pleasant for the operation of watercraft to do safety, public safety, or enforcement? They don't do that, yeah. Coast Guard, I mean, they may, but could we get, You know, and we're talking about a harbor master, not so much a law enforcement officer, unless that's the better way to go. But, you know, the people coming up and down the ramp, not expecting that someone has walked down Simmons Street and they're coming up with a trailer in a really big truck, you know, the size of Councilman Ritchie's truck. Some of these folks, it's a big operation.
I think that DNR would probably tell you it's a manpower issue. I'm not sure exactly what a harbor master position would look like. The one thing that you would want is the ability to enforce rules and regulations out there on the water. So it's definitely something that I think each year I've noticed over the last several years as it begins to get warm, this is always a topic of discussion, is enforcing rules and regulations in Shem Creek particularly. And I think it's a matter of finding the correct way of staffing that so that we do that. But I don't know that DNR would dedicate somebody just to Shem Creek.
Right. Would they assist us with that, or offset the cost of such? No?
I don't know. We can certainly research that.
Okay. And since the county parks operates the landing, right, that's still their landing. Maybe we can all work together. I guess, do I hear you saying it would be preferable that it would be one of our officers?
In my mind, it would be.
Okay. That's good enough for me. And we would be policing the county boat ramp and all of that. And that brings us back to item A, Eric. I think one of the problems, thank you, Chief Arm. One of the problems that we have with this is, and you deal with it and you send people out there, is the unauthorized docking there for days at a time. And a lot of times it's, I hate to say it, being part of it, my son being a professional in it, but it's part of the sailing community because they're folks that when they need work done on their boat and they're normally moored, they have to be where there's a power source. And so they just kind of freeload on our dock and we've got to stop that. I don't know if we need to strengthen our ordinance, up the penalties or whatever. Also know, back to police, this is a law enforcement issue, right? That's who you have to call. And I know that on the hierarchy of emergencies of public safety, it's not that high, nor should it be. But there are times, you know, our phone rings and when there's abuse of the dock privileges there, which is a lot more serious and more long term than just the people docking there to let somebody off on a Friday or Saturday night. So, Eric, from your standpoint, what can we do as a committee to move that? Do we need to look at a stronger ordinance to give you and staff more authority to make this? Do we need to put more signs up? I'm not sure what signs are up
there. We've talked about signage. I think our ordinance is fine right now. Chief and I did have an opportunity to talk about that. Some more signage and just our ability to be able to expend the manpower out there,
right,
to be able to enforce the ordinance while so many other things are going on. So I think we're good right now. And if we find that it's not enough, we'll come back. But mostly wanted to bring to your attention what's sort of happening out there, mm-hmm, at that floating dock and let you know what we were doing and make sure you're comfortable with, especially with allowing for patrons to be brought in instead of driving on mostly weekend nights.
Okay. Committee, any ideas or discussion on that? Let us know if we get more complaints about people abusing that privilege there. In general, on a Friday and Saturday night, do things go okay with that dock?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had too many like raucous behavior, or, you know, nobody's rammed their boat in there when they were not in condition to be operating one, I guess.
I'm sure it's happened on occasion.
But right now.
But not regularly. Mostly trouble with boats is on the other side.
Got it.
Some of the other establishments.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. All right. So that'll conclude item 7. That'll move us on to 8, ongoing projects update on mobility study. I think.
Yes.
Mayor, just real quickly, we touched on this earlier on the funding part of it, but our consultant did get underway. They have obtained all the origin destination data that is available through some of this metadata. They're tracking the flow patterns that have come from that. They're starting to really understand what it's meaning. They've collected all the travel time data, which really will tell us flow on the facility operations, and then also, of course, can identify when intersections are congested, because you'll see the stop in the red there.
Is this all the big intersections in town?
All the arterials in the town, yes, sir. So you'll eventually see some map that will kind of morph and change over time. It's really kind of interesting to see this because it really, you can get a really good visual understanding of what's happening with traffic as you go from, like, you know, 7 in the morning to 9 in the morning. You can see it build and then dissipate. And so that's very informative for us to make sure that we're understanding what's happening, as well as what is the solution for some of these locations.
Okay.
We've also reviewed our safety action plan, which already had all pretty intense evaluation of all of our historical crash data. So we'll identify hot spots in that. We'll be talking. You'll see that data when they meet with you.
So in other words, we will kind of know by rank what the most hazard prone, I won't say deadly, but the most hazard prone intersections are. What happens there, maybe the nature of the accidents, that type of thing.
Correct. Magnitude, generally causes. So we look at rates, really, because location may have a high number, could have 100,000 vehicles going through it. So we look at the rates, and if they stand out statistically from an average rate for that type of facility, that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
So, but, it, you know, magnitude also, hey, we see a lot of crashes that, right out here at Houston Northcutt, whatever it is, you'll see that too.
Okay.
On heat map type things. It's really
informative.
So looking at overlaying all the planned improvements in the network so they can understand what's already been planned through our CIP. And then we're going to meet next week with them to review all this data. Probably the following week, you'll start getting calls next week about the following week meeting with the committee members. So that's probably the week of the 17th or the 24th. We'll try to set something up so they can show you all this information and make sure we capture from you any other concerns or anything we haven't captured so far.
Okay.
So that's an update on that issue.
Great. Any questions on the mobility study?
Mayor, I don't have a question. I just tell you, I did meet last Friday with Stuart Day, and it was very good.
At Scantech.
Scantech.
Great. Yes, thank you. All right, and the next one, and this is not just a transportation matter, but it's also an economic development matter. People more and more are looking for their EV charging stations, and I know there's some things afoot and, you know, some things in the plan, but I do get asked, hey, when are we going to see more around Mount Pleasant? So I thought it would be good if we got an update on that.
Very good point. We're having a lot of good conversation now with Dominion, who just got approved by the Public Service Commission to offer the service of electric vehicle charging stations within the state. That was a big step for them. We will start partnering with them. We have two locations that have already been planned. We started this last May. One is right outside of Town Hall here. We have 10, maybe 5 chargers, dual charges for 10 positions, two of which will be for disabled. So that'll happen pretty rapidly. We just need to decide which charger we're going to use, and it'll be kind of turnkey for Dominion to install that for us.
This would be like in this parking lot?
Yes, sir. Up against the substation.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of over by the gym area. So we haven't quite decided, you know, are we going to allow our own employees to charge for that for free? And then, because we have the technology, you can charge. If it's not an employee, then we could charge the public to recoup that energy fee that the town's paying. So we've got to work through some of that. But as far as the installation goes, it's going to happen pretty quickly.
Okay.
And we also have that waterfront park. Tesla's obviously very interested in providing infrastructure for their vehicle, their fleet that they're selling. So they're having discussions with town center, or other large developments, apartment complexes. So this is all, like you're saying, it's starting to really roll now, and we're starting to see a lot of it. And, of course, we've incorporated a lot of that into our development regulations on the requirements
for
charging for commercial areas also. So
Well, it's kind of going to be like, you know, you don't want to be a cell phone dead zone. You don't get economic development in places like that. And you don't want to be a place where you're out of luck getting your electric vehicle charged, recharged. So good to see. Yes, sir.
DOT should have received a good bit of funding from the federal government for the interstates. What about primary arterials like US 17? Probably don't want to put them on the interstate itself, but interchanges. Are we in line to get any of those charging stations through DOT?
We have not had those discussions because those final rules are finally, the regulations have finally come down so they understand it. And that is something, all that money is held and moved through the DOT. And their prerogative will be the interstates, but I think it's time to start having those discussions because we have interchanges here that we can work into our local network. So I think it's prime for all of that. We're pursuing, there's grants that we're already pursuing for this to pay for these. Perhaps we get reimbursed for the ones out here we've already planned for. But so we're pursuing grants, and we can have those discussions with DOT about co-opted efforts for their network that will benefit ours.
Great. So thank you.
Sounds good. Did we cut you off on the ongoing projects?
No, sir. I know. I don't know what time we're at, but we can go through updates. We don't have to. It's really up to you.
Well, there's no committees meeting after us. As far as I'm concerned, we can go to supper time, but I don't think that will work for the rest of the committee. Can you give us a couple of quick updates? And I'll mention one kind of a fast-track project that we worked on recently. This is not road projects, but sidewalks. Yeah. We had thought for a long time that the 41 project might fill in the sidewalk that was missing along Bessemer. Well, we just decided, through Eric's guidance, we've decided to go ahead and pursue that for our sidewalk capital plan. So James and his folks and Daniel have worked very hard to, within a very short period of time, work with our contractor. We actually awarded the bid this morning, bids and purchase did. I say we, the town did. And this is for 2,300 feet of sidewalks, of filling all the sidewalks in Bessemer. It adds a flashing RRFB beacon for the crosswalk. It's going to be done in about 4 to 5 weeks. So very, very quick turnaround on that. Patriots Point Gateway, we're still dealing with utility delays there. I think next week we'll have some better information as far as schedule goes on that. Bonnet Key is on schedule to be opened in October. You can see here that they pretty much got all of the curb and gutter as well as the multi-use path down, and about 80% of the drainage is in the ground. So they're getting very close to final grading and paving. Wow.
And so I'm sure that at some point you'll want to schedule some sort of
fall.
Yes, sir. You're probably open before that. It's an official contract ends October, so we'll keep you apprised of when you might want to do a ribbon cutting for that. Mm-hmm. We already talked a little bit about All-American, and we also mentioned the Maritime Port is underway, and that will quickly get done. It's not a whole lot of work. We just have to wait on some of the signal equipment, but most all the road work will get done first, signal coming the very end.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, anything like that? I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thanks for
thank
the
you, sir.
And the budget. Mr. Moore, we good?
Yes.
All right. That concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.